Whether you love it or hate it, or just don't get it, crypto is probably here to stay. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. It's a world of big promises, big personalities, and lately, big failures. It can seem inscrutable and often ridiculous. But crypto has wormed its way into finance, tech, even sports arenas. And according to Bloomberg Businessweek, it demands to be understood. This week, the magazine has dedicated an entire issue to what it calls the crypto story, where it came from, what it all means, and why it still matters. Bloomberg Opinion columnist Matt Levine wrote the 40,000-word piece and says crypto and the blockchain technology behind it started as a reaction to traditional banking, which, of course, relies on trust in institutions.
The world is complicated, and in your daily life, you're just going around trusting that the systems you use will just work. And then in 2008, which is kind of the dawn of cryptocurrency, people like lost a lot of that trust, specifically in banks, but also in just sort of like the system broadly. Crypto kind of emerged as a reaction to that. And the sort of initial idea was really, you don't have to trust anyone. This all lives in like verifiable open source code. Every transaction is recorded publicly in an immutable way. The fact that it was checkable like meant that they were sort of relying a little bit less on trust. And that was this real philosophical shift. But then, of course, like crypto got bigger and more complicated, and trust really crept back into the system where, like, if you wanted to buy Bitcoin, you'd probably go to a crypto exchange because it was easier than doing it yourself. And so people ended up trusting centralized actors in crypto sort of almost as much as they do in like the rest of the world.
Right. So this idea of crypto and the blockchain kind of being trustless, what does that mean now?
Well, it hasn't gone away. There's a lot of stuff in crypto that isn't that. There's a lot of centralized intermediaries. There's like lenders and exchanges. And I think that one effect of the kind of crypto winter and the meltdown in crypto prices earlier this year is that the decentralized stuff kind of worked pretty well. And a lot of the people who put their trust in centralized platforms saw that trust abused, and like some of those platforms went bankrupt, and like customers lost access to their money. But I also think that, like, you know, to the extent you're going to build a big, like, you know, part of the economy, like, you do need to find some way to have trusted intermediaries. And I think probably a component of that is regulation in some form or another.
Right. You described this moment as like a crypto winter. Markets have had this big crash. There have been mounting scams and frauds. I mean, to the extent that trust is an element in these systems, how big of a hit has it taken?
A pretty big one, but there are companies and people who survive better than others. And I think that one thing that is interesting to watch in the aftermath of this is that some of the bigger survivors are clearly very invested in like not losing all sense of trust in crypto. And so you have like people like Sam Bankman-Fried, who runs the exchange FTX, which is a big crypto exchange. He's been sort of buying up or propping up some of the lending platforms that have failed. Because if customers of one crypto platform lose their money in a way that feels bad to them, then like that's going to lead to distrust in the entire system. The government is not stepping in to bail out these crypto platforms, but there is a little bit of a like roll your own bailout situation where like you don't want the whole system to crash. And so there is some sense of we need to restore trust by giving customers their money back.
You mentioned the prospect of government regulation, but wouldn't government regulation sort of go against the whole crypto ethos? I mean, could this really restore trust in these systems?
Oh, yeah. And I think that if you sort of look at the history of U.S. stock investing, you know, you could tell a similar story of like the 1920s were this real boom time. And then there was a big crash. And then after that, securities regulation was kind of, you know, built from scratch. And there's like a long period of growing trust in the markets that allowed you to raise a lot more money because people trusted the market. But to your point that it's anathema to crypto people, Like, that's absolutely true. But there is, I think, a divide in the crypto world where there are a lot of people who came to crypto for philosophical reasons. And then there's a lot of other people who are like hedge fund managers who are like, I want to like make money and I want to be able to attract institutional investment. And the way to do that is absolutely to have it regulated. Both of those strands are real and, you know, kind of like legitimate in the crypto world.
So now that you have done this massive article and all this research, do you feel like you have trust in crypto?
I don't know that I have trust in crypto. I mean, I think that, like, you know, the days when I put my like 401k into crypto, I'm a traditional person, right? And I will, you know, I'll wait for a little bit more regulation before I do that. I do sort of like see the appeal, and I do kind of think that I don't believe that everything that you do in your financial life has to be fully trustworthy, right? I mean, like, in investing, you put some of your money in the bank and you really want to get it back. And then you put some of your money into, like, you know, risky stocks and you hope to make a lot of money and you realize you might lose some money. You know, in crypto, there were these problems where people offered very high returns and sort of created the impression that it was just a bank account and your money was safe. And like a lot of those things went very wrong. But I think a lot of people in crypto are like, hey, this is fun gambling. And if it goes wrong, like, you know, that was a risk they were taking.
Matt Levine, opinion columnist for Bloomberg. And now for some related links. Of course, we'll have Matt Levine's full long-form article for Bloomberg linked on our website, marketplacetech.org. If you're looking to get a better understanding of crypto, blockchain, and more, Matt Levine's story is about as in-depth of an explainer as you will find anywhere. Again, it's 40,000 words, 4 chapters. Bloomberg has labeled it the only crypto story you need. But just in case it's a little more crypto story than you need, it's also kindly broken down into a cheat sheet of the 10 biggest takeaways, which we'll link to as well. But I will say, in addition to having about 39,000 fewer words, the digest version is also lacking all the fun graphics and GIFs and memes of the original. And what is a crypto story without GIFs and memes? Daniel Shin produced this episode. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.